Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Greetings, listener dear. We're back in your ear canal where we love to be. I'm Tom.
I'm Ben.
And I am Matthew. Welcome to another episode of Pappy's Flatshare House Meeting.
House Meeting. What temperature will I set the heating? It's a real tragedy for us, actually, that we don't get to listen to that theme tune very much because we're making the podcasts, whereas you, listener dear, get to enjoy all the benefits of the theme tune.
Yes, you know, you could actually listen to the podcast yourself, Tom, which, that's a bridge too far for you, isn't it?
Never go back. Always face forwards.
Never go back.
Don't think about what you said over there.
What happened over there? Why is Tom in the corner with his face to the wall at the Blair Witch Project? What happened over there? Before we get cracking, we should tell you that the next Flatshare Slamdown is happening on Thursday of this week. It's on the 21st at 8 p.m. So get your tickets if you haven't got your tickets already. They're so fun, the ones we do over Zoom. You can watch it on YouTube. We've got two amazing guests.
My word. We've got two great guests. We've got the peerless Felicity Ward, who's absolutely fantastic, and internet sensation Aaron Craskell.
Yes.
Should be a real treat.
The closest thing to a night out while staying in, you guys.
I think that's fair.
Loads of fun.
That's certainly fair to say for us. Yeah, we have a good time. get yourself to eventbrite.co.uk, eventbrite.co.uk. Search for Pappy's Flatshare Slamdown and you will find a link to tickets there, or go to our Twitter at Pappy's Tweet, or go to our Facebook. All of those things, you'll find ticket links there. Our Instagram, we've got a ticket link there. Ooh. It's all there, guys. Get yourself there now.
Have good fun.
It's going to be good fun. It's going to be good fun. I've got a message I wanted to read out from Minna, who sent us a message via pappiesflatshare@gmail.com. Get in touch. She writes, "Hello, grandads." And great start.
Oh, it's funny because it's true.
Immediate dick slap from Minna there. "Hello, grandads and Emma. Absolutely loved your peanutting chat on the last house meeting. I won't lie, I did have to Google the Y2K stuff to get all of the jokes of the ep, as I was a mere 2 years old at the time of the millennium."
Oh my God.
"This is the kind of rich history you can learn from your elders. I'm just going to tell you guys that in my school, they banned the traditional tie because of how much a problem peanutting was. They got rid of the tie entirely. My brother's year, 2 years older than me, was the last to have the real tie, and all the others had to have a clip-on. However, what it turned into was yanking off someone's clip-on tie, so it didn't really solve the problem of childhood violence. Could really have used the old penny trick. All the best for this new year. Be honest, be fair, and be kind on Twitter and in real life. Cheers, everyone. Bye. Minna."
Great news, Minna. We're leaping across the generation gap. This is really good stuff for us. Minna can take us into a whole new kind of audience bracket.
Yeah, absolutely. The great thing is that peanutting is still, you know, was still a concern for the youth. Are you parents of young kids? Are your kids still getting peanutted at school? Get in touch, pappiesflatshare@gmail.com.
What I also want to know is, are you of the old generation? Were you peanutted? How far can we stretch the peanutting gap?
Yes, you know? That's like, right. Who's the oldest person to be peanutted?
Yeah.
Who's the youngest person to be peanutted?
Were you peanutted during the Blitz? Get in touch.
This is it.
Were you ever peanutted at work?
Is there a peanutting in the Bible? That's what we want to know. Did Moses ever get peanutted?
Judas definitely peanutted.
Judas peanutted himself, didn't he?
Yeah. Is it what started the rift between Cain and Abel? A good old peanutting on the way home from school.
A good old-fashioned peanutting.
Anyway, great news, and thank you for getting in touch. Please spread the word to your other young friends with ears.
I mean, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, it's... Yeah, anyway, yes. Please spread the word generally about this podcast. If you like this, if you like us, tell your friends about this podcast. That's just some work I'm having done next door. Hope it's not too much of a problem. Let's crack on with the episode, shall we?
Plastic surgery. Yeah. Just to get a bit of work done.
They're currently constructing my new head next door.
You're listening to Facelift Live with Matthew Crosby. Okay, well, yes, enjoy the episode. We'll see you dans la toute with Crossbow's new head.
I've had a thought.
I've got an issue.
I've got a question I want to ask you.
I want to talk.
I want to chat.
Okay, let's sit down and chew the fat.
House meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. What temperature should we set the heat?
House meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. Why on earth am I always weeping?
House meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. Who wet my bed while I was sleeping?
Let's have a house meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. What's the point? Does life have a meaning?
House meeting.
I've had the intro to It's in the Singing of a Street Corner Choir trapped in my head for the last 4 days, and so I just go around the house going do 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 do, and it's absolutely killing me. Oh man,
why is that, like,
why is that Tom?
No, but I think the reason you've got a Christmas song in your head, Tom, is because it doesn't feel like we've had Christmas. When I went away to India for Christmas, we didn't have a Christmas day really.
Have a Christmas day in India?
They do, but they don't celebrate it in the same way that, I mean, you know, it's not a largely Christian place, Kerala.
It's Christmas time at all?
They do know it's Christmas time a bit, but in the restaurant we were in, someone came in like Santa hats and played a keyboard and played some Christmas songs. So that was Christmas Eve. We were eating a curry, it was gorgeous weather, and someone was in a Santa hat singing Christmas songs. It felt like enough. But then for the rest of the year, up until about April or May, Charlie and I found ourselves singing Christmas songs all the way through, you didn't feel like you'd really sunk your teeth into Christmas in a proper way.
Got it out your system.
Exactly, exactly. It needs to, you know, you need to do it.
You need
in
to
order
purge,
to release it. Yeah,
you need to purge the festive spirit out of your body, else it festers in you for the whole year.
Yeah.
A bit like that Christmas card that's on your mantle, kind of burning a hole in your pocket.
Yes, I've still got a Christmas card. I've still got a Christmas card up that only arrived late. And yeah, it's my one little bit of... The thing is, though, me having a Christmas card on my mantelpiece means that I'm not going around singing songs from Muppet's Christmas Carol.
I think Muppet's Christmas Carol is just one of those, it's always there for me. It's we've covered, like, live soundtracks, you know, like that kind of thing. At least two of the songs are going to be from the Muppets Christmas Carol on my live soundtrack.
I'm worrying that you're giving me worms just listening to this now. I'm going to have
worms.
Yeah, I'm going to have the earworms.
I think it's just an earworm rather than earworms.
That's what getting worms is, right?
Who's going to tell him?
Does anyone really know what getting worms is? Really?
Yeah.
What is it? Okay, sorry, let me rephrase that. I'm not sure I know what getting worms really means.
It's quite a lot as kids, like kids can get it quite often because they're out grubbing around in the soil and stuff. But when you poop and stuff, you'll see.
So how,
there'll be worms.
So you grub around in the soil, you put the soil in your gob.
Yeah, or you put it on your fingers, you put your fingers in your gob. Yeah, you don't necessarily have to eat the soil.
And you swallow a worm egg.
You swallow worm eggs, and then you get worms in your feces.
And that's from eating soil?
Well, not always. It's not, and also, they're not like earthworms. They're not like big, old, they're little, tiny little worms.
But
Is that how you get them?
Yeah.
How else?
I believe so.
From eating soil.
Tom, how have you got your worms?
Just asking for a friend. Follow-up question, have you ever had worms?
Yes.
Really? I didn't know that about you, Clarky.
I had them as a child.
And I examine all of your shits.
You're just not doing a good enough job.
I had to go off and do them in private. I was like, Tom's not going to want to see this.
Does someone go through the Queen's stalls for her?
No.
Okay.
Oh, Parry, are you looking for a job? Is that what? You've had all those years of training with me. You're like, I could step this up to royalty, I'm sure.
I mean, I'm sure someone would do if she had to give a stool sample, but I don't think there is a job. Like, are you thinking like in the way that there's like, you know, in kind of the medieval court, there would be a food taster who would eat the king's food before they ate it to check it wasn't poisoned?
I reckon just once a day.
Once a day?
Like, once a day, rub a glove, give it a rub, and be like, she's fine.
You're rubbing a glove and then rubbing poo? That's not how you put gloves on me.
Is that why the Queen always wears gloves?
Is this why you've got worms?
I've caught the Queen's worms.
Are you wearing gloves? No, but I rubbed them. It's fine.
It's like, I rubbed them, a genie came out. They said, what's your one wish? I said, I'd like to have worms, please.
I regret it in hindsight. I panicked. I meant to say, can you get this earworm out of me? And I ended up saying, can you give me worms, please?
Oh, one of the worst wishes. Because the problem is then, that's two wishes. Because your second wish is like, can you take them away again, please?
Not yet. I want to get my money's worth. Yeah, can you take them away in 48 hours?
No, my third wish was don't take them away yet. My first wish was, can I have worms? Oh, no, can you take them away, please? Oh, no, I wish for them not to be taken away yet. And now I'm stuck with them.
And you just don't know when they're going to go. You don't.
What a way to burn three worm wishes.
You know they're going to go at some point, but you don't know when it's going to be.
It's the suspense that's killing me. If I knew, I think I would.
No, it's the worms that are killing you. It's the fact you've got parasites in your body. Here's the thing, though. It's one of a variety of things. But
imagine if you brought a little worm up to the screen. Then here's a thing. One of my worms.
Pop it back in the gob. Back down you go, fellows.
Not yet.
Don't.
Wait,
Lord, rob me of these worms.
Have we come up with officially the worst three wishes you could wish for a gene? I'm not sure anyone's got a better response to what is the worst thing you could do if a genie gave you three wishes. It's the worst, I think. Give me worms. No, take the worms away. Oh no, don't take them away yet. I'm sorry, sir. You've used your three wishes. Oi!
I should have gone for infinite wishes. I wish for infinite worms.
Infinite worms, please.
But apparently some people will give themselves some sort of parasite, because you lose weight, don't you, if you've got worms? Because the worms are eating all the nutrition out of your food.
Oh.
So some people will give themselves a parasite for like 24 hours.
For January.
Yeah.
For 24 hours.
Well, yeah, but like, you know, it's to get yourself back into the, you know, post-Christmas, you give yourself a bit of a worm. And then,
that isn't what the phrase a diet of worms comes from, is it?
No. But I wonder, is it?
No.
Maybe it is. No, wait, a diet of worms, surely that's just a bad thing.
I thought that was like more like a tapeworm, not worms.
Oh, right.
Are those different? I have a feeling that when you have a tapeworm, it's like...
It is a grey area.
They eat all your stuff.
It is a grey area, worms. What I should say is, we don't really know what we're talking about, but everyone else does know, but they're not allowed to speak.
poor old listener. I wonder how much time listeners spend just like shouting,
explaining things to us.
You fucking idiots. House meeting.
What's the worst thing you've considered eating?
House meeting.
Tapeworms are the ones that are literally like one big long bit of tape.
Do you imagine them like those, you know, those sugary sweetie coils that you can buy from the shop?
Yeah, that's exactly it, yeah. Because that's
And can you catch a tapeworm by eating one of those?
What, and they'll just latch?
A bigger one. There was an old woman who swallowed a worm.
What you've got to do, actually,
it's not a bad idea. You dangle one of those, you lie on your back, you dangle one of those above your gob, possibly you even play a little bit of sort of snake charmer music. The worm comes up out the top, grabs onto it, and then you yank it away and yank the whole worm out.
This is very similar to Tom's dad's Mars bar idea, which I think about very often.
Yeah, I know. It's one of the big ones, isn't it? It's one of the big stories of our lives, really.
Can I ask, what's the Mars bar trick? Was this when your dad was dating Marianne Faithfull?
Oh no, that was we don't talk about that Mars bar story.
Okay, right. Yeah. What's your dad's Mars bar trick?
My dad taught us when we were kids that if we had a tapeworm, you put a Mars bar on a little stool and you stand over it, and the tapeworm comes out and eats the Mars bar, and then goes back into your bum. And then on the second day, you put a Mars bar by your bum, and it comes out and eats the Mars bar. And then on the third day, you don't put a Mars bar out, and the tapeworm comes out and says, "Oi, where's my Mars bar?" And you hit it on the head and kill it. And me and my sister really believed that. We didn't really realise it was a joke, and then you pull it out. So, my God! And obviously, I passed that information on to Clarky, and we've lived with that as fact ever since.
Yeah, and now we're passing it on to listener dear, and you too can live with that as fact.
Moving the story, I can move the story away from this kind of fecal subject matter.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a bad idea for any listeners who are trying to eat a meal or just generally go about their day not wanting to think about shits and worms.
I will say, if you are trying to eat a meal, please check it for soil, because we've already had that answer. check it for soil, Mom.
And if that meal is a Mars bar off a stool, listener beware. Maybe, enjoy doctor, the first one, but don't come out for the second or third.
But doctor, I am the tapeworm. Talking about that coiled sugar tape that you put in your gob.
Yes.
I went for my government sanctioned
I think the phrase
exercise.
Is eat, you're looking for eat.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah, do you just put it in your gob and then take it out, clock it over the head and say, "Dad, I've caught another one."
You don't quite eat it either, do you? It's kind of like, it's just sugar, isn't it? You know, it's like, it's just...
Do you have a piece of spaghetti? It just goes like...
Can I say you don't eat it, it's just sugar? That explains your physique in a nutshell, doesn't it?
I'm not eating nutshells, mate. I'm not.
I didn't really eat it. It's just, you know, sure, it's a bag of sugar. I just sit down and watch a bit of telly with a spoon. Yeah, it's not eating, per se.
Who's per se?
Yes. From bad adults.
Went for my government-sanctioned exercise the other day.
Oh, yeah.
We're in the park, and an older family kind of came past. And the teenager was like, she must have been about 12, 13. She had like a roll-on deodorant, but instead of where the deodorant is, it was just like effectively a bottle of sugar water.
Yeah.
You know, like bright green kind of mixture. And she's just like licking the deodorant roll. And I just thought, it is so funny, isn't it? Like, we have like a 10-year period where we're just obsessed with like... push pops.
Yeah.
it's absolutely insane.
You're right. It's the obsession with sugar, though. Like, the desire to eat sugar is so great that you will lick it out of a deodorant.
That can't be enjoyable. Like, she's walking around lapping on this thing, like, and it's like, what's going on here? And like, I don't know. I think when you're a kid as well, is it to do with sugar or is it to do with colour? Like, is it like, Ooh. Oh my God, I get to eat something bright green, or like, look how blue that is, I want to eat it, or like, I shouldn't be eating this. Like, I don't know, I can't get my head around it.
By the way, that sounds like you've just done mushrooms or something and you're looking at the sky. Look how blue it is, I want to eat it. Oh god, Parry's gone too hard. It's 3 p.m. on the Wednesday at Glastonbury, Parry, you can't be doing this now.
Guys, that thing I was licking, it was a deodorant. I'm sure it mucks effects. It off. I can taste Africa.
A load of women dressed as cave girls chasing after your cum. I was going to say, not your cum.
Yes, come Whoa. And get it, cave girls.
I was going to say your tongue, but I said your cum by accident. Sorry, Tom.
No apology needed for that. It's a potent image. One that'll shift a lot of link scans, I'm sure.
I mean, it's going to shift a lot of more listeners to turn off this podcast.
Yeah, we've moved away from talking about worms in your shit. We're now talking about coming in Parry's gob.
Cave women chasing me for my cum across a Glastonbury site. Oh, God, that's a potent image.
It is a Glastonbury site for sore eyes. Now, yes, yeah, so like, you were going to say... Like,
well, it's just that, I don't know, it's mad, isn't it? Because surely, from evolution's point of view, we're raised to want to eat certain colours, or like, you know, like greens. We should want to eat green things and...
But yeah, that's why the deodorant is, you know, it's green.
And then it suddenly gets to like 8 years old or whatever, and you're like, no, I want something that looks like psychedelic blue or like shock pink, and I want it in my gob, and then you're like going, I don't know, it's just like,
you
so
want to
odd.
Taste the rainbow, really, yeah. Odd. Yeah, I don't know, I mean, is, because do you think you can tell, like, would you be able to tell the difference back in your sugar-eating pomp between, like, the different colours of Smarty?
Absolutely
do you think that
not.
Was? Do you think that was a thing?
But so the thing is, oh, hello, well, that was always a theory, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The orange one tastes like chocolate orange. No, it doesn't. The orange one did taste like chocolate orange, didn't it?
No, I think it's because you
always
saw orange and you thought, like, because, it, you know, like how the other senses also inform your taste, like your sense of smell, but also looking at the orange, putting it in your mouth, you go, well, I must be tasting orange because I've just seen orange. Because what do all the other ones taste of?
Well, my problem here is I don't think I ever eaten just one Smartie or just one Skittle. It was always a handful.
Really?
Problems?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I used to love that. Something quite delightful about having one Smartie in your mouth and really going to town on it. Really working it around with the
tongue.
I mean,
that's great self-control.
No, because I'd eat the whole tube, but I would, but you would, the feeling
but the
it...
the speed is also part of the...
You just like, coming apart, feeling it were you, disintegrate in your mouth was a delight. The
that's
shell...
That's what I said to my cave women.
Feeling the shell come apart in half and then all the chocolate inside, and then, you know, often as well, take, you know, it was quite fun to suck all the colour off a Smartie.
I was about to
take
say,
it out
Clarky,
and look at a white Smartie, surely.
Exactly, you must have given it the old white Smartie treatment in
well,
your life.
Sure, but I'm doing that to about 24 simultaneously.
Very
just
skillful.
Scoping alone into your hands.
Very skillful. Lady listeners, Clarky's got the supple tongue, baby. It's kind of like the equivalent of Twin Peaks, where you get the cherry stalk and you tie it in a knot. Clarky would do a similar thing. He'd go into a playground, bang 24 Smarties in his gob, give him 30 seconds, they're all coming out white, he's taking someone home with him.
Absolutely.
Can I just say that the playground thing, that would have been when I was also at playground age.
I don't know, yeah, no, exactly. Who's that old codger gobbing out his teeth?
I don't know, but once I'm going to marry that boy.
The white Smarties, honestly.
Do you remember when they brought in blue Smarties? It was such a big deal.
They would do like limited edition blue only tubes.
A blue only tube, yeah. That was so good. I mean, and what's the blue one supposed to taste like? Raspberry?
Because exactly,
that's
like
traditionally the sort of
flavour.
A bright blue.
It was always bubblegum flavour blue, wasn't it?
Yeah. Because it was just the most sugary taste, wasn't it?
Yeah, and also, well, like, bubblegum is still not a flavour.
That's the flavour that bubblegum... No, that's the colour bubblegum grows in the wild, isn't it?
Do you want to go...
If you're growing...
Do you want to give bubblegum one more go? See if it was this.
Hang on, I'm going to do this. This is going to be great. Because, guys,
wait, hang on. That's the flavour of Bumblegrum.
Oh, my Bumblegrum's full of worms.
By the way, has anyone signed up to Bumblegrum? Now I've been kicked off Twitter. It's all I can. It's all I can tweet on.
It's my favourite Blur song.
Yes.
When you're growing bubble gum in the wild, it grows blue. It would have worked. Bumblegum. But when you let me slip away, I'm sorry.
We'll be right back.
Yeah. I mean, this is like obviously if you're working in the tobacco industry, you're not going to be very happy about your work, or you might be very happy about your work because
wait, where's this come from?
Well, let me finish. I'm sorry, I blacked out there. Sorry.
I'll let you finish. Can you start first though? That's the main thing.
Sorry, what were we talking about, guys?
I don't know. Apparently, you're doing a deleted scene from Thank You for Smoking. What's going on?
Right.
If you work in the tobacco industry,
yeah, you obviously know what you're doing is pretty sinister, and you are profiting off that kind of thing. There must be a similar feeling.
It's the same thing for podcasters.
Well, yeah, exactly. But also, it must be just as bad a feeling if you are a guy going in to a sweet, you know, like if you're peddling sugar to kids. You know, and you're going in, you're being like, this is how we can get kids to keep buying this stuff that's going to rot their teeth, that's going to make them fat. But, like, we're going to make it really fun. Like, they know exactly what they're doing there. Like,
but
you know,
Willy Wonka
is a bad dude, right? Like, it's not a good thing he's doing. He's one of the bad guys.
But, no, but he...
These people are...
Ah, but here's the thing. He is... He's a good
Wonka
dude.
Defender.
I'm going to be a Wonka apologist here, because the way that he realizes that Charlie is ready to take over the factory, spoiler alert, is that
he's not ready to take over the factory. He's 11 years old. Let's just get that in the bud right now. You've fallen right for this line. This 11 year old boy is going to run a fucking factory.
The third book in the trilogy, it's really bleak, actually. He can't balance the books. He's got no authority on the shop floor. The Oompa Loompas overrun the place. He's the same height as the Oompa Loompas. It's bad. It's really, really bad. They unionise because effectively they're slaves.
Of course they do. They should. Yeah, exactly right. Nestle come in and take it over.
But the,
like, what?
No, but here's the thing.
He is not ready to take over the factory.
When Willy Wonka realises that he will eventually become his heir, it's because he gives him back the sweet, doesn't he? He gives him back that everlasting gobstopper that's a load of different flavours, which he's nicked. He gives him back and he goes, you've learnt the secret of sweet things, which is restraint. Violet Beauregard didn't have that.
No, what he's saying is, Charlie, you know what to do. You don't get high on your own supply. This shit'll kill you. Let's keep peddling it to the masses. It's like the fucking Wire. It's like saying, look, we don't do the crack, but we sell the crack and we make loads of money. He sees in Charlie that ruthless entrepreneurial streak.
It's also a bit of a weird message, isn't it? Like, if you, with your kids, you've taught them, like, well done, you didn't lie. Here's the deeds to our house.
You didn't lie, but we did die. Here's the deeds to our house.
Is that the story at the end of the factory? I call it the factory.
You call all films and books factories, because they are, they're ideas factories.
The Bubblegum Factory.
I just go on the last line of the title, which is a problem because I get them confused with the football factory quite often.
Very that ruthless. Bit in the football factory when Danny Dyer gives someone a sweet.
Charlie, you're ready to run the firm. You're the top boy now because you said no to this shiv.
House meeting. I've said it once before, but it bears a repeat.
House meeting.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot.
we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
At the end of Charlie the Chocolate Factory, Willy Wonka doesn't say, you'll take over eventually, does he, when I go? Isn't it like, you off you go now, and then we'll fly this glass elevator into space?
Yeah, that's what happens. But I can't... I thought, isn't he effectively looking for his heir? I'm basing this more on the... I haven't read the book in probably 35 years, so I'm basing it more on the film, which I've seen more recently. He's looking for somebody who's going to eventually one day run the factory. But I mean, it's not going to be for a while, because Willy Wonka, as we find out from his brilliant joke he does at the start of the of him appearing looking all hobbled, and then he does a roly-poly, he's not an old dude, is he?
Oh, hold on. He does a forward roll. A roly-poly would be a very different start.
Wait, what's the difference between a roly-poly and a forward roll?
Roly-poly is when you're lying down on your side and you're rolling that way.
No, it's not.
Yeah, that's a roly-poly. Yeah. You're roly-poly down a hill.
You're roly-poly down a hill. You lie on your side and you roll over and over.
Oh, this is... No, I always called a roly-poly the forward roll. Forward roll, roly-poly, as far as I'm concerned, interchangeable.
Fascinating. Is this a Midlands versus South thing? Is it just someone who can do a roly-poly against someone who can't do a roly-poly?
Yeah.
What's gone... I think I'm with Clarky on this one.
Yes. Well, let's find out. Let's type roly poly into YouTube. Oh, they're a type of bug.
What?
The roly poly.
Roly poly is in my poo.
Yeah.
I've got a roly poly in my poo to make. I don't know why I went for the Foo Fighters.
Roly-poly.
The Pooh Fighters.
They've got lovely stuff, Clarky. I'm sorry I talked over that. Armadillididium. The Armadillididium vulgare, the common pill bug, potato bug, common pill woodlouse. Oh, so like a woodlouse is also called a roly-poly. That's interesting. I didn't know that. What does it mean?
A woodlouse is called a roly-poly.
Yeah, if you type roly-poly into...
Have you been
into
licking Lynx deodorant, Matthew? You sound absolutely mental right now. You just spouted a bunch of words that sounded like you were trying to sing the start of the Only Fools and Horses. So you got a hump, dump, 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 roly-poly, bump, dump, bump, lump, dump, dump, dump.
Pill bug, potato bug, common pill, woodlouse, roly-poly, slater, doodle bug, a carpenter, widespread European species of wood. Yeah, it's good, that, actually. That's the way it works.
That is good.
God bless Bumble Grum. Viva Bumble Grum.
How do I do a roly-poly? Here we go. How do I do a roly-poly?
Ever so slowly. Faster, faster, faster.
Yeah, roly-poly. I remember that. That was it.
Yeah, but you can't do... Think about roly-poly ever so slowly. Faster, faster, faster. You can't do that with a forward roll. You can't go forward, roll slow, and then go faster, faster.
I'm on WikiHow at the moment. Performing a roly-poly. Crouch down onto the mat with hands on either side of your knees. Tuck your head into your chest. Ah, there we go. Yeah, so it is. That's forward
what
roll and roly-poly are interchangeable, yeah.
Wow.
So, but...
I corrected.
But you know what? I've got the result, but I'm not happy with it. It's a bit like the most recent US election. I feel like I'd be happier with your result. I like the idea that a forward roll, that's a thing. We all accept what a forward roll is. But there is, in my world, in my vocabulary, there's no term for lying on your side and rolling down a hill. Something I'm going to tell you I've never done. But there's
that's
no
mental.
There's no term for it.
That is mental because it is roly-poly.
Right. But I've just, like, if someone said to me, do a roly-poly now, I wouldn't. If someone said to me, do a roly-poly now, I wouldn't say I can't, there's a hill. I'd say I can't, I'm 40. But, you know, same results, but I would assume it was a forward roll.
Well.
We've lost him. We've lost Parry. We're not going to get you back from this, are we? This has blown your mind.
No, I just feel comfortable with in my parameters of what I accept.
A phenomenal response.
Oh well, you feel comfortable in the chat.
Oh yeah,
it's a log roll or a pencil roll, but I mean a log roll is what you find worms in.
a chocolate log roll at Christmas.
I've never heard the phrase log roll or pencil roll. I've heard roly poly, but
fuck that.
The evidence, Your Honour, is roly poly ever so slowly faster. I don't think there's any coming back from that argument.
You see that?
Well, you can't do a slow roly poly and then speed up. I mean,
no, but you don't. Someone could if they exercised incredible control, but the you think about the phrase roly poly ever so slowly faster. That isn't coming from someone doing a slow forward roll, then another forward roll that's faster, and then faster. Three more fast forward rolls.
That's what we used to do for roly poly ever so slowly. At
you would forward roll down a hill,
not down a hill. No. You break your neck. No, but that's what you do. You do roly poly ever so slowly, and you would be like doing it forward slowly, rolls. And then doing forward rolls around the room. On like,
you do five forward rolls back to back.
Well, no, because you're not doing, you know,
roly poly.
You're never. It's never corresponding exactly with what people are saying. But I think it still makes sense that would be a roly-poly, but I like the fact that now we've got a new term for, I've got a new term for rolling down a hill.
Roly-poly, baby.
Roly-poly ever so slowly. What were we talking about? Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Right, here we go.
Yeah.
So, Wonka and people who are peddling sugar to kids know... What is your argument there to yourself? How do you justify to yourself that you're just bringing a bit? It's just a bit of fun.
Yeah,
but isn't it?
I think so. But I guess
all things in moderation. These are the things you have to say to yourself every morning. You're there. You're doing on your tie. You're buttoning up your power blazer. You're looking at yourself in the mirror and you're saying,
"Power blazer."
Okay, Charlotte. It's okay. All things in moderation. You know, it's just a bit of fun. And then you travel to work and she sits at her desk and she peddles sugar to kids like a dealer peddling crack to an addict. And you know that it's not right.
Right. I mean, I guess so. But at the same time, what's the alternative that you ban? I mean, like you ban all sweets and chocolates.
Because it's quite, the same way, you don't bang crack, do you? I mean...
Exactly, we'd have anarchy. But I think...
You don't ban it. If people who know it's wrong stop doing it, then you don't have to ban it, right?
Who are the people knowing it's wrong?
That's what we're talking about, isn't it? The people who get up and go to work and peddle sugar to kids.
Do you feel the same...
Willy Wonka...
Do you feel the same thing as...
And his kind, Charlotte Wonka. I'm talking about Charlotte Wonka at the moment, in my head.
It was a bit... I'm not going to lie to you. It was a bit confusing when you said you wake up in the morning, you put on your tie, you say, okay, Charlotte, this is okay. Which is... That's my wife's called Charlotte. So I was in the mind of going, oh, is this me putting on my tie and speaking to my wife? But you picked a person called Charlotte who is like the next person down from Charlie.
The next person down from Charlie. Yeah, like I'm talking about like a modern day equivalent, yeah.
Right, okay, yeah.
Yeah. And like Charlotte was putting on her power blazer.
Right. And doing up her tie.
The tie was someone else.
So she's putting on my power blazer and she's doing up someone else's tie. Because I would say her problems at work are the least of her worries. I say her morning routine should be looked at first.
She's putting on her partner's tie. She loves him.
Okay, and how does that help?
Have a nice day.
By the way, I put your tie on. I love you. Bye. And in the he hasn't got his tie.
She's putting his tie on him.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Like a loving.
It's quite a weird way to show someone you love them. Dress as them. Oh, I've gone to work. Where's my? I'm trying to get ready for work, Charlotte. Do you know where my suit is? Yeah, I'm wearing it. I love you.
Love you. Bye. Nice power blazer, by the way.
So Charlotte wakes up. She puts a tie on her partner. She puts a power blazer on herself.
Yes.
She goes to work at the modern day equivalent of the chocolate factory
of Willy Wonka's old factory.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm reimagining Charlie's Chocolate Factory for a modern era.
And because you want the central character to be evil, you've made it a woman.
I mean, no.
I mean, no, mate.
No, bruv.
Yeah, so Charlotte is going to work. That's what I'm talking about, those people.
Okay.
Do you see what I mean? I'm not talking about governments banning things.
Yeah.
I'm talking about people taking responsibility for their own jobs.
Right.
Because if the people who created cigarettes and sold cigarettes said to themselves, look, if we're honest here, this isn't great, is it?
Yeah.
Then they'd be like, okay, we wouldn't have to ban cigarettes.
I feel like cigarettes is a different thing to
yes.
sweets.
Yes. Okay. Let's move away from the cigarettes thing.
Okay. I still think what's the alternative? You have to. I mean, do you not have to accept that people are going to be reckless with any product you're putting out there? You know, and they're all damaging to varying degrees. But.
What? If you're a lemon farmer, you're a lemon farmer, you've got to sit there and have words with yourself going, well, too much lemon will rot the teeth.
Yeah. Do you not think that's the, like, you can't have that mental, that you can't, you can't have that thing of going, well, look, chocolate and sweets bring a lot of joy to a lot of people. They don't, you know, yes, they can rot your teeth. You know, yes, they can make you a bit unhealthy, but I'm not saying here's this enormous vat of chocolate. I'm selling it in small boxes, you know, slightly larger boxes for families.
So I'm saying things in moderation, defence.
I'm saying be responsible. Please enjoy this responsibly.
I think I now eat more chocolate and sweets than I did as a child.
But that's
not in control.
That's you. But then, you know, you've got to allow
that is
people,
Clarky, though, to be fair.
You've got to allow people their own agency. You've got to let people, you know, live their own lives.
But when you're producing these brightly coloured, when you're producing a bottle of sugar water with a deodorant top on it, right? You're not going, this is for a 35-year-old dude who's his way. You know, this is not like, this is for a professional who's enjoying sugar responsibly. This is for the
You imagine someone
the
walking
nurse.
Down the road with
She's
a power
been
blazer
work all
on.
Week. She comes home. She wants a little bottle of sugar water that looks like a roll-on deodorant. I mean, you know you're not marketing it to adults. You know you're targeting people who can't enjoy it responsibly. Are you taking the line, well, a 9-year-old kid should know when to stop when they've had enough sugar? It's like,
well, no, because then it's the parents' job then, isn't it? It's the parents' job to teach the kids moderation and to allow the, you know, and to a certain extent police the kids' intake of food. That's the parents' job. I would say though, the deodorant bottle. You know, I've got no problem with them sticking it in a deodorant bottle because I don't know if that necessarily does make it more appealing to kids. I mean, it's quite a weird thing to stick it in the first place.
That's who it's aimed at, isn't it? That marketing is
sure, but
someone who's going around licking a roll on top style bottle of sugar water. That's not going to be someone who's, I don't know, just finished a workout at the gym, is it?
No, you're absolutely right. It's not an isotonic drink inside it. Yeah.
Oh no!
It's not going to be. You're not going to have Daily Thompson advertising those.
Here he comes, old Sticky Pits.
No,
lovely modern sporting reference from Crosby there.
I'm just trying to think. Was it Daily Thompson who was in the isotonic drink adverts? But you know,
all I'm saying is, I think I can't see a reason why, you know, kids can't be sort of trusted and parents can't be trusted. You know, it's not like if that's all they're eating, there's a problem. But I'm assuming that she was having this deodorant bottle as part of a, you know, this wasn't part of a healthy meal.
That's right, exactly. Eat your broccoli and then drink your deodorant bottle full of water.
But that is what kids,
we're having a lovely picnic in a park.
That's what kids are like. You do eat normal meals at home, and then when you're on a treat on a weekend, you get to, you know, suck on a deodorant bottle.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe I'm too permissive. I don't know.
In fairness, I would say, yeah, you definitely can't expect people who work for a sweet company to go, I'm not going to work for them anymore, and that's going to be the way that you deal with, you know, childhood obesity or whatever.
Take responsibility for your own actions.
Yeah,
that's surely a solution.
You need people need work, and you can't expect people to quit their jobs because.
Yeah, arms dealers need work as well, don't they?
Yeah, but again, I don't think they're the same thing.
If people use arms responsibly.
No, Tom. We moved away from cigarettes because we said cigarettes. There is no upside to cigarettes. There's no health. There's no health sides to, you know, to cigarettes.
There aren't any health sides to sugared water either, though. It's fun. Cigarettes are fun. Sugared water in the shape of a deodorant bottle's fun. It's grossly irresponsible to sell those things, and both people who sell them know it. And how you market it is, we know this is a damaging product and it's irresponsible to sell it, but we can make money by selling it, so we shall. There are actually similarities. I bet behind Wonka's chocolate
arms
factory.
Trade.
I bet you
this is mad.
I think you walk through a door in Willy Wonka's chocolate factory and you'll find his fag shop, and he'll have Oompa Loompas rolling cigars on the side
and loading guns.
I think it's a very thin line, and I bet Wonka's got his fingers in a lot of pies.
What a journey.
I mean, you know, I can see that you're sticking to this, but I just want to say, if there are any listeners here who do manufacture sweets,
or guns, or
no,
cigarettes.
Not guns or cigarettes. If you work for Cadbury's, or you work for Tony's Chocolate Only, or you work for Green and Blacks, if you work for any of those companies, at least three of us, I'm going to say, no, let's just say three of us, Emma, Ben and myself, would love some freebies. Tom, on the other hand, thinks it's utterly irresponsible what you do, and you should rot in the pits of hell. You should be boiled.
You should be boiled
in your own sugar water, you know, whereas I would say, if you've got some spare flumps you want to send my way,
factory.
Yum, yum, yum.
Can I finish by adding that I'm a big fan of Tony's product?
No, you can't. No, too late. No, you cannot. You absolutely cannot, Tom. End by saying, oh, by the way, except for the ones I
Tony's
like.
Tony's a personal favourite. Tony's is a personal favourite.
Yeah, they're fantastic. And you know what?
It's on offer quite a lot in the supermarket.
Yeah, you enjoy a Tony's Chocolate Only. You're not dead, neither is your family. It's fine. Whereas if you were to say, well, I've bought this nuclear warhead, I've brought it over my family to all enjoy, you'd all be fucking dead.
Oh, we're going to enjoy it responsibly.
Oh, I wish I had a fucking nuclear warhead right now, mate. I really do.
I'm going to have a little bit.
I'd shove it right up my tapeworms.
I'll tell you what, you do find all sorts in that middle aisle at Aldi's. Am I right, guys?
How do you feel about the people who make all sorts, though? You probably don't like them either. Bertie Bassett and his ilk.
Hey, Bertie Bassett can rot in hell. He knows what he's doing and he should be in prison.
Okay, well, let's end it here because I'm dying for some M&Ms.
Oh yeah, I've got a tube of Skittles in the other room. Oh baby,
bag of Skittles.
Yeah, I was going to say bag. No, they don't come in tubes. I thought we'll end it there, but
I knew what that pause was.
It's a tube of Smarties.
It's a tube of Smarties, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. It's a tube of Smarties. No, it's a tube anyway.
Oh, not a tube.
Bye.
House meeting.
Can I get this pizza delivered to Nanita?
House meeting.
Hey, sorry for saying Dance La Toot with Crossbow's new head in the introduction. I don't know what Dance La Toot officially means. I meant it to mean at the end, but here we are.
Well, Dance is in, isn't it? Dance is in, and La Toot means everything. We'll see you in everything. Is that what Dance La Toot means?
I like that. In that case, Dance La fucking Toot.
Dance La Toot, everybody, in 2021.
Oh, please Dance La Toot in 2021. That was a treat, wasn't it, that house meeting?
It was really fun. Yeah, it was really, really fun. I still feel like it's an argument that I don't want to go back to, but I'm glad it's recorded for posterity. Let's not pick away at those jelly deals.
I think some people are going to be taking a good, long, hard look in the mirror after that.
Do you think so? Do you think this is actually going to...
That's us.
Yeah.
Well, Crosby is, but only because he's got a new head on, so he won't recognise himself.
Keep scaring myself every time I walk past. Do you think, if I got a facelift, but I just literally moved my eyes and like everything, would it create the illusion of me looking a bit taller? If I moved my eyes to like halfway up my forehead...
Well, Clarky's tried the same thing with his arse. Yeah. Certainly
those legs go
longer.
All the way up. Yeah, they really do.
Those legs go up, then they become one leg, aka the back, and then this is arse.
Do you call your back your third leg?
Your one leg. Oh, my third leg.
Oh, I've pulled my one leg.
If you've pulled your one leg, that's something else. Oh, sorry, that's the rest of my body being constructed. I think we best go. But do leave us a review on iTunes, folks, if you get a chance. 5 stars, right?
That'd be lovely. Actually.
Sure, yes, 5 stars, why not?
Does it go up to 6?
Give us a 6-star review. Leave us a 6-star review. Subscribe, like, recommend it to your friends. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Facebook. I better go, really, shouldn't I? Because this is not...
Bon chance, Crossbow.
Don La Toot, mate.
This episode was produced by Emma Corsham.
Corsham team.
Team. Cheers, everyone. Bye. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, come on down for this one-time closing sale. It's your Patreon Neighbourhood Watch roll call, and there are bargains to absolute boot.
There are bargains galore. We've got a discount on every single door, and they have been brought to us by the kind benefactor Layla Shaw.
I'm selling shoes, and they're costing 7. And I'm also selling a hat. I bought one off Geraint Evans.
Oh, well done.
Oh, yes, I'm selling Will-O-The-Wisps. Of course I am, from Simon Crisp.
I'm selling a hat for your son, and I bought it from Kate Patterson.
I am selling 3 bulls.
Oh.
I bought them from a
bulls
ranch.
Bulls on parade.
And I bought them from a ranch from John Nichols.
I am selling these wonderful Tupperwares. They really can't be beaten. And I'm selling them today to Neil Screeton. I'm here.
Hello. I'm selling a hat to your son. From Nick Simpson.
Your poor son. Oh, there we go.
Well, I'm not going to sell this, actually, because this is actually a rare bag of tea.
We made one rule. We'd never sell our rare bag of tea. You can offer us 1 million simoleons.
That's a private collection, I'm afraid, and it belongs to Michael C.
I can tell you now, you can back off, Buster Brown. I'm not gonna sell this. This is my delightful picnic hamper. It's been passed down from generation to generation. Everybody enjoys it. Everybody covets it. Especially Toby Lovett's it.
Oh, well, I'm not selling you this, guys. Many people have been telling me I've got to sell it. But I'm not gonna. It's an absolute myth. I'm very sorry. Sorry, I'm so sorry.
I'm gonna sell some sorin.
I'm so sorry. I'm selling the sporin. I'm not. It's a myth. To Aaron Smith.
I'm Alan selling Aaron.
This, I'm selling this bike. It can do a wheelie. I bought it from this right old cunt. His name is Tim Seeley.
Oh, Tim Seeley, as I live in Brealey.
Yeah,
let me tell you now, I'm selling a hat for your daughters, and I bought it from Ian Waters.
Well, I'll tell you what I'm selling at some point.
Oh, yeah. What are you selling,
I'm selling it. You must be crazy if I'm selling you this. What are you, living on a ward? I ain't selling you this hat. Jenny Sanford?
Oh, yeah.
I'm selling you this bag of tea. I had nice...
No, this goes against everything you stand for. What a turnaround.
Let me tell you, I'm selling you a bag of tea, but not that bag of tea. This bag of tea, it's like that bag of tea, but it's a little bit worse. And I'm selling it once. I'm selling it twice. Sorry, I've got to take a phone call from Ben Mercer.
Oh, no one's getting that tea. Let me tell you, I've tried some of that antique tea. It really is wonderful stuff. I had a late night tea party with my old friend Fuff.
I would sell you this tea, but I'm afraid I don't sell it to people who are whalers. No, sorry.
Or Bob Marley, for that matter.
If you're a whaler, no tea for you, Samuel Taylor. I've got some more antique tea.
Oh, whoa.
That's right.
Don't shout about it. Everyone will want some.
Honest, this is antique tea. It's not sawdust. It's antique tea. Why don't you buy it? Don't look inside. It's not sawdust, man.
Okay, sounds...
I'm selling it to Charlie Solomon.
Oh, well, don't look inside that antique box of tea. Don't look inside. You know, I sold some antique tea the other day, and it wasn't sawdust, and I sold it to Harrison Ford, and he had a really great time.
Hello?
Hello, everybody. How are you doing there? That's all I had to say about my time with Harrison. I'm sorry. I'm a terrible name dropper, but I love to tell you about the time. It's a wonderful story about the time I spent a good evening selling some sawdust tea to Harrison Ford.
He's a fine man. A pilot, don't you know? A pilot.
He's a really wonderful man, and he loves to get high, and who can blame him? He gets high on his own supply. And also, James Stanford is here.
Well, I'm not selling you this tea. No,
okay,
no matter what you say, no matter all of your bleating, I'm sorry, it's not for you, Louise Keating.
That concludes our sale, everybody. Going once, going everybody.
It's gone.
It's gone. When it's gone, it's gone, and it's gone. See you later, boys.
See you later, boys.
Bye, boys.
Bye-bye, boys.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.